In the book of 1 John, chapter 4, and verse 8, the Bible says that God is love. And yet in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, the word says there are six things that the Lord hates. Now many of us would say, well, the very heart of God is the heart of love. And that's the very nature of God. If there's one word probably that captures the Spirit of God or the Father, it has to be the word love. That God is love. Because so much is said in the Bible about God loving us with a fervent love. He loves us with an eternal love. He loved us in that he gave his son, John 3 and verse 16, and in that he calls us his children, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. But if all of that is true about God being love, then why is it that Proverbs chapter 6 says that there are things that God hates? And there are people that God hates. Now that may sound a little strange to you tonight. But let me explain as we read the word and we peruse together through the scriptures on this subject. You might turn in your Bibles tonight to the sixth chapter of the book of Proverbs. And we're going to pick the reading up there in verse 16. And reading from one translation, the word says, there are six things that the Lord hates. Seven things that the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Or an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes or imaginations, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Now there are seven things that God hates and he actually detests. Now the word hate is a word that probably would be different in our vocabulary than in the vocabulary of God. Actually, the word hate in the Hebrew, and by the way, this particular book was written in the Hebrew language, and it just simply means that God has bitter disdain for, or that he is set against. There are just some things that God is bitter against. And there again, we think sometimes if God is love, how could God be bitter? Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 29 and following, that there is a wrathful side to God. Even though God is love, God is a just God, and because of his justness, then there has to be the wrath of God. And the Bible often talks about the wrath of God being poured out against the evil. Or the fact that God pours out his judgment upon certain nations. But many mistakenly conclude that because the Bible says that God is a God of love, that God cannot hate, and that is not true at all. So I want us to dwell just a little bit tonight on this subject, seven things that God hates. I would tell you, first of all, as we have already examined here, that God hates haughty eyes. Now, if you were reading in the King James language, it would read this way, that there are those things that God hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him. And then he mentions, first of all, a proud look. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. You know, there are a lot of people that would be in the kingdom of God tonight that would be followers of Jesus Christ if they could give up their pride. Pride keeps them from humbling themselves before God. And that's why Jesus said to certain men on one occasion in the book of Matthew 18 that unless you humble yourselves and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is, you have to humble yourself before God. And a lot of people don't want to do that. A lot of people think that they're masters of their own fate. And that they're, as we mentioned this morning, are going to chart their own course. And they're going to live as they choose to live. And they are haughty. You know the kind of people I'm talking about? They hold their head so high. And as someone said that, you know, their nose is so far in the sky that if it ever rained, they would drown. Well, there are people like that who live like that. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, the Bible says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. A young man said to a preacher one time, he said, "I'm having trouble with my pride." And the preacher said, "What do you have to be proud about?" You know, there are a lot of people in our world who think that they have a lot to be proud about. Sometimes they think they have pride or should have pride about the way they look, or they have pride about their money. They have pride about who they are. And we need to realize that in God's sight, we're all on level ground. And there is no difference between you and me or anyone else in this world. The fast track to a fall is to let pride run away with you. And there are many that are too filled with pride tonight. Do you know sometimes people are too proud to walk down an aisle and acknowledge their sin? You'd have more people that would publicly declare their sin and acknowledge their need for God if they could get rid of their pride. Sometimes we don't want to let other people know that we sin and that we make mistakes, but we all do. We're all frail. And if you contrast that to what Christ had to say in Matthew 5 and 3, you will find where Jesus said the contrary, and he gave the beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." But then God not only hates the proud, but he hates a lying tongue. Now this gets right down to the nitty gritty, doesn't it? Because we live in an age today where everybody believes that it's all right to lie if it is good for a good purpose. It's all right to misconstrue truth, or it is all right to be given to deceit if you're doing it for a good reason. People talk about telling little white lies and little black lies. But let me remind you what the Bible says in the book of Revelation 21 and verse 8. It says, "All liars shall have their place in that fiery lake of burning sulfur." It is. You'll be right there along with the adulterer. You'll be right there along with the thief. You'll be right there along with the murderer. You will be right there along with the atheist. That's what God says, that they shall have their part in the lake which burneth of fire and brimstone. God hates all liars. Did you know the Bible says there's two things that God cannot do? God cannot lie is one of them. God will not lie. Whatever you read in the Bible, you can know for sure without any reservation at all that it is true, that it is correct. But people have no problem with lies today. Politicians lie to us all the time. Someone asked me the other day, they said, "How do you know when a politician is lying?" I said, "I don't know." And he says, "Well, when his lips are moving." Well, that may be true. I don't know. But I know one thing, that people are given to lie. Preachers are often given to lies. Let me share a story with you that I read the other day. There was a clergyman or a minister who was walking down the street when he came up on a group of about a dozen boys, and all of them between the ages of 10 and 12. And the group surrounded a dog. And the concerned boys were hurting the dog, and he went over and asked him, and he says, "What are you doing with that dog?" And one of the boys replied, "The dog's just an old neighborhood stray. We all want him, but only one of us can take him home. So we decided that whichever one of us could tell the biggest lie will get to keep the dog." And the preacher was taken back. He says, "You boys shouldn't have a contest telling lies." Then he launched into a 10-minute sermon against lying, beginning with these words: "Boys, don't you know that it is a sin to lie?" And ending with, "Why, when I was your age, I never told a lie." There was a dead silence for about a minute. And just as the preacher was beginning to think he'd gotten through to the boys, the smallest boy gave a deep sigh and said, "All right, give him to the preacher." Well, it is a lie to say that you have never lied, folks. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody has misconstrued truth at some point in their life. But God hates lying. God hates lying. In Psalms chapter 5, verse 5 through 6, the Bible says, "You have all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies." Now, to the opposite of that, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the very opposite of lies, for he is truth. And even when he stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked him who he was, he says, "Who are you?" They claim it your truth. And he says, "Thou sayest it." He is true. Good relationships cannot be built upon lies. They cannot. I think one of the most unusual stories I heard, and it really kind of related to pride as well, was a story about Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan recalled a situation where when he was actually governor of California, and he made a speech in Mexico City. And he said, "After I had finished speaking, I sat down rather unenthusiastic and to an applause. I was a little embarrassed," he said, "because I thought my speech was good." He said, "The speaker who followed me, we spoke in Spanish, and which I don't understand. And he was being applauded almost at every paragraph, everything that he said. To hide my embarrassment," he said, "I started clapping before everyone else and longer than anyone else until our ambassador leaned over to me and said, 'Governor,' he said, 'I wouldn't do that if I were you.' He said, 'All they're doing is interpreting your speech.'" Well, people sometimes can lie, and they do, and they feel no repercussion from it at all. But God hates a lying tongue. We should never ever be given to lying. There was a busload of politicians one time who were driving down a country road when the bus suddenly ran off the road and crashed into an old farmer's field. Now, don't you kind of get the picture here? The old farmer heard the tragic crash, so he rushed over to investigate. He then began digging a large grave to bury the politicians. A few hours later, the local sheriff was driving past the farmer's field and noticed the bus wreck. And he approached the old farmer and asked him where all the politicians had gone. And the old farmer explained that he'd already gone ahead and buried all of them. And the sheriff said, "Well, were they all dead?" He said, "Well, some of them weren't, but," he says, "you know how politicians lie." Have you ever been around people that just lie all the time? I mean, they have no problem with it. Well, God hates it. Let me tell you another thing he hates, and that is hands that shed innocent blood. In the book of Joel, chapter 3, and verse 19 in the Old Testament, the prophet said, "But Egypt will be desolate," he said, "Edom a desert waste, because of violence done to the people of Judah, in whose land they shed innocent blood." Now you may say, "Well, you know, how do we, we're not going to be advocates of shedding innocent blood." Let me tell you how innocent blood is shed today. When a woman goes in to get an abortion, is she not shedding innocent blood? She is. You don't have to drive by and shoot at someone and take their life. That's shedding innocent blood, isn't it? And even our nation upholds it in many cases. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. He hates it, as a matter of fact. He has contempt for it. And it's one of the reasons that God judged Egypt. And I think it'll be one of the reasons for God judging America. Imagine the blood guilt of abortion doctors. Imagine the blood guilt of all the judges and the politicians who allow the shedding of blood of innocent, unborn babies. But then there's another thing God hates, and that is a heart that devises wicked imaginations or schemes. For in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Jesus lists certain sins, and he said they proceed out of the heart. It is not what goes into man that defileth him, but that which cometh forth from him, that is from his heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And what we do in our lives actually is an index as to what is going on in our heart. And that's why the Bible says to guard your heart with all diligence. For Proverbs 15 verse 26 says that the thought of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. And there are a lot of people that devise wicked schemes all the time. Sometimes they do it to make money. And they feel like there again, if it's God wants me to be happy. You know, it's amazing the logic that people use sometimes, isn't it? I've had people tell me sometimes, well, I don't give to God because God wants me to be happy. And if I give to God, then it destroys my happiness and my joy. How irrational sometimes can we be? But God hates feet that are quick to rush into evil as well. For Titus chapter 2 and verse 6 says that young men are to be in self-control. Self-control is the antidote to falling into the temptations of the world, is it not? In Proverbs 29 and verse 11, the Bible says that the fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Sometimes people just let themselves go and they vent their anger and they act the way they want to act. You ever heard people say, well, it doesn't matter to me what people think about me. I'm going to be myself. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm Mr. Me. And you know what? The Bible says that God has contempt for such a person. He has disdain against. But then there is another, and that is a false witness who pours out lies. And you may say, well, isn't that basically what we've already talked about? Well, not really. Let me tell you how this works. It deals with people actually bearing untruths about other people. A false witness. Did you know that even violates one of the commands of the royal law, doesn't it? For the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. That is, you should not say something about someone else that is untrue. But people do it all the time. People, here again, mislead other people into believing certain things because they bear false witness. And God, again, has disdain for the man who bears false witness. Sometimes people do it, and again, they have no problem with it. But God hates those who do harm and disservice to his system of justice. And that's really what happens when a person doesn't tell the truth. That's why when you get into a court of law and you take the juror box or you are on the stand as a witness, they say that you must tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. God says it is a person that he hates who bears false witness. You know why? Because they bore false witness about Jesus, his own son. They claimed that he was a blasphemer. They claimed that he was an imposter. They claimed that he was a false teacher, that he was not of God. But they were saying it falsely, and they were making accusations that were untrue. But then last of all, the one whom God hates is the man who stirs up dissension among his brothers. Now what does that really mean? Well, it's one who creates trouble. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible warns a divisive person. And he warns us to warn that person. And then you warn him the second time, he says, and after that, you don't have anything to do with him. After the second or the third admonition. And then you read in the book of Romans, the 16th chapter, rather, and verse 17 and 18, where God says you mark those that cause division among you, and then you avoid them. And there are people sometimes in our world that just constantly stir up strife and dissension. But isn't that counter to what Christ taught? For in the book of Matthew 5 and verse 9, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Well, if peacemakers are called the children of God, what do you think they call troublemakers? What do you think God calls those who stir up strife and dissension among those who are of God? Well, there again, it doesn't take a scientist from Harvard to figure that one out, does it? And you know what? God will deal with such. He will. I don't want God to hate anything about my life. I don't. I want to be right with him every moment. I know God's going to deal with this, and a lot of people think they're going to escape the judgment and the wrath of God if they do what we've been talking about here tonight, such things, but that's not true. There was a no trespassing sign in West Texas one time with a rancher's name signed in blood red next to the warning. It just said, stop. He said, I know you're thinking about crossing this gate. What you should know is if the coyotes and the cactus and the mesquite, the heat, the dust, or the rattlers don't get you, I will. Now, you know, God says to us, you may sail through life, and you may think I have no problem, but there is a day of reckoning that is coming, and God will deal with you, and he will deal with me. And that's why it's so important for us. You know, I've often thought it good to go back and look at this passage of Scripture. It's the only time you read in the Scripture of that particular setting where God hates certain things. But these are things that are contemptible in the sight of God. These are things that he has bitter disdain for. And so it behooves us to really stop and think about our own life. Am I guilty of any of these? And if I am, God, help me to change my life. Help me to get right. And I hope that you'll do that tonight if you're guilty. And only you know that. If you're not a Christian tonight, God's plan is very simple. And we'd be remiss if we didn't offer that invitation of our Savior tonight for people to become children of God. And you can do that by acknowledging Christ as Savior and Lord and confessing his name and repenting of sin. For he taught that, I tell you, nay, if you don't repent, you'll all likewise perish. That sounds to me that judgment is coming, folks. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That is still true tonight for those who are outside of Christ. And if we're guilty of any of the things that we've been talking about here tonight, there again, and I think the reason that Solomon mentioned this first thing is because this is the one that is so difficult to get past, and that is pride. Sometimes our pride will not allow a person to say, you know what, I've been bearing false witness. I've been telling lies. I haven't been really living like God wants me to live. And you know, until a man really humbles himself and gets rid of his pride, he'll never change. He won't. I hope you will, if you need to, while we stand.